So apparently the Bears are good now. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. As always, it's Nick and Mike. We're back at it again every single week, every single Thursday. You guys can expect episodes from us. Now, let's get straight into it, right? Somehow, the Chicago Bears are first place in the division after they took on the Vikings and won 19-17.
Yeah, I mean, the Chicago Bears take first place with this victory. But once again, though, I thought they were going to lose until at the last play, when they needed it, they got a Devin Duvernay, I think it was like a 58-yard kick return. And that set them up to go in field goal range and basically kick the game-winning field goal. They made the play when they needed it because J.J. McCarthy did it again. But the key takeaway for the Chicago Bears that is really intriguing, because it's kind of like the same thing as the Packers, is they cannot put away bad teams. And they keep these teams around. And, you know, when you lose games like the Packers do because you can't put the bad teams away, the Bears, on the other hand, have found a way to win these games, and they're sitting at 7-3 now.
Yeah, and it's interesting to point out that going into this, we were kind of torn on whether or not J.J. McCarthy was going to come out and beat his hometown team again.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different Chicago team at this point than it was week one.
Which, honestly, J.J. did. I mean, that throw to Jordan Addison was pretty tight in the end zone. Good throw, good catch, but special teams, man. And the funny thing is, Nick, when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the special teams was a bear killer. Now here it is. Finally, when they needed it, they got it.
Something else we mentioned prior is Justin Jefferson becoming more of like a diva. We saw him on the sideline slamming his helmet down. Obviously, nobody likes to lose, but it came out that it was because he didn't get targeted as much. Like, come on. I mean, yeah, you guys lost the game, and that sucks. Nobody likes losing, but don't be going around and being like, well, I'm not going to put in the effort in if my team's going to continue losing. Because when it comes down to contract negotiations in a couple years for him, then they're going to look back at this and be like, well, you're not a team player.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing for the Chicago Bears, too, is I think the defense played well overall. They got a couple turnovers. J.J. threw two picks. So they played overall fairly well. I mean, they held on, but, you know, the offense definitely could have converted some field goals into touchdowns. But at the end of the day, they got the win, and that's what matters for them.
Yeah, exactly. And now they sit first place in the division. And, I mean, they have an interesting matchup coming up next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Well, be if Rodgers was playing, but he's probably not.
True. So
this could be another freebie.
Yeah, with that broken wrist.
Yeah, unfortunately. But let's talk about my Green Bay Packers, Nick, because we've been harping on them for a long time. And let me tell you, my mental was broken in this game. Holy cow, can someone on the defense catch the football? I know they're a defensive player for a reason, but I'm not kidding you, Nick. Jameis Winston would have had 5 interceptions. 5. There was a play where Bullard had the ball, but as our linebacker, McDuffie, came over, was trying to tackle the receiver, instead tackled Bullard, who then dropped the ball. Carrington Valentine just can't catch. 2 went through right his hands. So the Packers held on. It was good to see that they got the win 27-20. The Giants did have a shot at the end of the game, but Winston threw the one pick that ended the game. Thank God. But the Packers, though, this field, I don't know if it was the field conditions or the cold, but they got banged up. They lost Josh Jacobs now for some time, which was critical. Jordan Love even came out of this game for a little bit, but luckily came back in. So they got banged up. Romeo Doubs was in and out. You know, we lost Quay Walker. So after this game, though, the Packers won, but definitely beat up.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been harping on them big time, especially me being a Lions fan and just being like, man, you're saying one thing and meaning another,
Yeah.
quoting the rage bait from last
I
episode.
also want to point out, Nick, we did, you know, rage bait me, and you guys love to harp on Jordan Love. This past week, if you watch the game, do you know how many drops our receivers had? It was unbelievable.
I don't know the
Romeo
number.
Doubs back-to-back drops. Christian Watson was the only guy with hands on our team, it seemed like, because these receivers could not catch. Jordan Love was throwing great balls. They just could not catch. So, of course, the stats, it was not pretty for Love, but someone actually did the math, and I forgot exactly what the numbers were. But if the receivers did catch the ball, and they obviously estimated on the yardage, Love would have had over a 70% completed rating in this game. But instead, it was way shorter than that because of those drops. So once again, the Packers, I don't know what's going on, but receivers got to catch the ball. So.
Give you that. I'll give you that. Just seeing, I watched the game, and obviously it was crazy to see the amount of drops that the Packers receivers had, especially because, I mean, they're talented wide receivers. They're all fairly young as well in their career. I think the oldest is what, like 26 maybe, tops. So they have a young receiving core, but at the end of the day, this game should not have been this close. Looking at the rosters, obviously you guys lose Josh Jacobs, and that's going to be tough for you guys, especially with your good boy Matt LaFleur's play calling
Yeah,
decisions.
I just want to point out one more thing about this game that's really detrimental for the Packers is the tight end position now. Tucker Kraft obviously is out, but Luke Musgrave stepped in, and he actually didn't get as many snaps as John Fitzpatrick, who the Packers signed off a practice squad, and the other tight end, Josh Wiles from the Titans, we got off of practice squad. He got his first touchdown, but Luke Musgrave is not a blocker. He dropped the ball. As soon as he gets hit, he goes down. He's not effective. Our tight end position definitely something that is lacking right now because Luke Musgrave is supposed to be a big time tight end like Tucker Kraft was when they were paired together, and you're getting outsnapped by John Fitzpatrick and Josh Wiles. I mean, that's not good. So at the end of the day, the Packers definitely need to do something with that tight end position. As you said, Matt LaFleur needs to, let Love have the ball because when he did throw the ball, it was all good things, mostly. So, with that being said, yes, the Packers did win. Huge win. 6-3-1 now, sitting in third.
They're actually second in the division.
Now they are. Oh, I did not know that
They are
after the Lions
second.
loss, huh? Oh, that's
Yeah,
right.
they're
That's the number
second
one.
in the division. Yep. And I mean, like I said, this game should not have been this close. Looking at the Giants, looking at the Packers, this game should have been a two possession game instead of just a 7 point game. But I'm not going to rant as much because I'm going to mention some stuff that I've mentioned in the past. With the Detroit Lions falling to the Philadelphia Eagles 16-9. Now, this game should show why Brad Holmes should have made a move at the trade deadline. Because our offensive line was abysmal against a three-man and a four-man rush. The Eagles defense only blitzed on, I think, 15% of the snaps total. And they were mainly rushing four. It was looking like the Super Bowl last year where Patrick Mahomes was struggling against four pass rushers. And the run game really wasn't able to get going. A lot of Jahmyr Gibbs's yards were through the pass. And like the Packers, the receivers have to catch the ball. St. Brown had a critical four drops. Jameson Williams had three drops. Khalif Raymond had four drops. And Brock Wright had three drops. So these guys have to catch the ball. Isaac Tesla had a huge two drops. So these guys have to catch the ball. And yes, Jared Goff had a lot of wild throws. It was very windy with wind gusts above 30 miles per hour. I don't know if you saw the pregame warm-ups for the kickers, and that ball was flying. And I want to talk about this real quick too, before we get into anything else. Jamison Williams costed the Lions points. I like celebrating after you get a touchdown, but in that situation with the wind, you turn a 25 yard PAT into a 45 yard PAT. And with that wind, it's going to be very difficult for any kicker to be able to make a kick like that. And the Lions defense stood up, right? They went huge against Jalen Hurts, limiting the tush push. Now, the Lions, we talked about this in the offseason. The Lions were one of the teams that said, do not ban the tush push. And they were able to stop it on fourth down, third down, whatever down it was, they were able to stop the tush push. Now, obviously, there was that controversial call with, I think it was DJ Reader offsides, but they called it a false start on the Eagles. And then I will mention this. Now, this goes for every game that we've talked about. The officiating this year has probably been the worst we've seen, probably in our lifetime. Multiple controversial calls between every game. New York stepping in and changing calls on the field. And I'm sure you already know what call I'm going to be talking about. That crucial pass
Wait, wait,
interference
wait.
on third down.
Before you get to that, I want to ask you, because this was something I
Okay.
noticed. What do you think about the Lions going 0 for 5 on fourth down? Do you think, in all those situations, you like the fourth down calls? Do you think that might have costed them?
No. Yeah.
Stand by it.
I think realistically, they should have. There was one where it was fourth and one, and they had Gibbs in there for a run in the middle, like right down the middle. They should have had Montgomery in there. And there was a couple other ones where we're going for it on our own 45 and not converting. Our offensive line definitely was a factor in that, as well as the gaps that were opening up and the running backs looking at those certain gaps.
You know, really quick, speaking of the tush push, because you just reminded me when the Eagles played the Packers, these referees have got to notice when the Eagles are going for a tush push, who is moving? Because the offensive line against the Packers, I don't know which tackle it was, I don't remember, was 2 seconds before the ball was even snapped. He was across the line. It was
Jordan Mailata.
unbelievable. I mean,
It was
yeah,
Jordan
it was.
Mailata.
And I don't understand how referees do not see that or call that, or you know, the tush push that for that reason, because they're trying to hurry up. That should not be allowed. I mean, you gotta be able to see that as a referee. That is critical. So I think that's it's a bush league play. So that's why I think it should get banned at this point, because referees can't even see the false starts.
Yeah, and exactly to that point, Jordan Mailata was doing false starts 90% of the snaps that he was going up against Hutchinson. And how many were called?
They won zero.
Zero. And there was a lot of holding on Hutchinson. Now, Hutchinson is one of those players that will kind of draw you into a hold. He'll flail his arms up and be like, hey, I'm being held. And it won't be called. Now, I will say that going into the officiating, that pass interference call, the Lions needed a stop. I believe it was third down. It may have been fourth down, one of the two. But the Lions needed a stop, and they stopped the Eagles. 5 seconds later, a flag flies. And even AJ Brown's like, what the hell? He even thought it wasn't a penalty. And pass interference on Rocky Sin. That gave the Eagles the win. Now, I'm not saying it was a guarantee that the Lions could have made a comeback. Obviously, it was a one possession game, but that stop would have put them in a position to potentially be on the 20 yard line and only need to go 20 yards to tie the game. So that sort of situation, that needs to change, where it was, if you look at the replay, if it's a pass interference, it was on A.J. Brown.
Yeah, no, it was a terrible, terrible call. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Even the announcers were saying it. If anything, it should be an offensive pass interference. You know, I just...
You mentioned that. The fact that Chris Collinsworth was saying that this is a bad call has to say something, right?
I don't understand, though, where the referee, whoever called that, can actually call that without another referee stepping in.
It was the back judge.
I mean, even someone else.
It was the back judge, and the line judge was like, there's no flag.
I mean, it's, I don't know, man. I don't know anymore. I honestly have no, there's no justification anymore. There's a lot of conspiracies. There's a lot of things that, you know, we don't know what happens in the outside sports world that I just consider now. And I'm like, dude, is sports legit?
Here's a factor for you. I don't know how many people know this, but I know it's pretty well known in Michigan for sure with how they've screwed over the Lions multiple years, multiple games. If you look at the copyright for the NFL, it is known as a entertainment industry, kind of like the WWE. Every other sport, you're wearing a Blackhawks jacket. The hockey, known as a sports league, MLB, sports league, NBA, sports league, MLS, sports league, NFL, entertainment industry. So there is a lot of scripting that could go into it, and it could turn into a situation where I know me and you watch Tom Grassi.
Yeah.
You as a Packers fan and me just a fan of football and a fan of comedy, if the NFL was scripted, he posts every week. And I'm like, this actually makes sense.
Super interesting. Well, Nick, I think on that note, we can let people think about that and digest all that and head into our next segment, which we are going to be talking about the NFC North, the playoff picture, and who the NFC North is competing with currently in the NFC. So I think to start off, obviously, I think we can write off the Vikings. I think it's the Lions, Bears,
yep,
Packers. I think if the Packers win this Sunday, Vikings are definitely out, no question. With that being said, we were talking about how the North has three teams. The West has three teams. So this could get really interesting coming down to the wire, Nick.
Yeah, and I even have the playoff picture. If the season were to end today, the playoff picture would look like this for the NFC. Number one seed will be the Eagles, sitting at 8-2. The number two seed will be the LA Rams, sitting at 8-2. The three seed would be the Bears at 7-3. Fourth seed will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously the four division leaders, being the NFC East, West, North, and South. And then you go into the wildcard teams. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. The number five seed they currently have as the Seattle Seahawks, sitting at 7-3, second in the NFC West. The number six seed would be the Green Bay Packers, sitting at 6-3-1, second in the NFC North. And now that final spot, they have as the San Francisco 49ers, sitting at 7-4, third in the NFC West. And the two teams sitting outside of the playoff picture at the 8th seed is the Detroit Lions, who jumped down from the 4th seed this past week to the 8th seed. They currently sit at 6-4, third in the NFC North. And then that 9 seed is the Carolina Panthers. That's a team that we did not expect to be in this situation.
Yeah.
Sitting at 6-5, they are second in the NFC South. And then obviously you have the Cowboys, Vikings, Cardinals, Falcons, Commanders, Saints, and Giants. Where I think realistically, the Cowboys down will not make the playoffs. I think it's going to come down to the Panthers, Lions, and then whoever takes the NFC North.
Yeah, and the crazy thing with all this is the NFC North and the West actually still play each other. So the Lions and Rams play each other. I think the Lions and Niners play, if I'm not mistaken, too. Or am I incorrect about that?
They do not play the Niners.
Well, the Rams play the. I know the Rams play the Lions. Well, the West still plays each other nonetheless. I know the Rams have a decent schedule, playing the Cardinals twice, so they could easily be in. But this is a critical time for the Lions and Bears and Packers because the Packers only have one game in the division, playing the Lions on Thanksgiving, playing the Vikings this Sunday, but they play the Bears twice in a matter of 3 weeks. And they also play the Ravens, who obviously now have Lamar back. So, and they play in Denver, and that's not easy. So they do not have an easy back nine, as I'll call it. But this is critical. These are must game wins. Must yeah.
Yeah, and must
Must win
win
games. I'm sorry,
games.
I knew I said it wrong.
So, and speaking of the Lions, I mean, they have the Giants coming up. That should be a cakewalk. Should be. I think realistically it's going to come down to the offensive line. Now, you speak of tight ends for the Packers being on IR. Sam LaPorta is placed on IR, so he has to miss at least 4 weeks. So we have Brock Wright, and it was announced that they will have Jordan Meeks lining up at linebacker, or sorry, tight end at 6'2", 225 pounds. The cousin of NFC North legend Za'Darius Smith.
That's cool. That's cool.
So, I mean, they had the Lions or the Giants, they have the Packers on Thanksgiving, Cowboys, Rams, Steelers, then to finish off the season, both road games, Vikings on Christmas Day, and the Bears to close it off. So this is going to be a difficult time for these teams to be able to solidify their spot in the playoffs, because I know all these teams are chasing that dream of winning the Super Bowl. Lions a little bit more because they've never been, but I mean, could the Packers hold the 27 lore that we have all been hearing
So
of?
I have an interesting question for you. Looking in on the playoff picture for the NFC North, what do you think is the number of wins the team has to get to in order to lock it down?
13.
13. Wow.
I say to lock it down, it has to be 13.
Well, if the Packers are 6-3-1 now, they would pretty much have to win out at that point.
Yeah.
So the Lions would have to win out
Because
too.
I don't think that 12 would cut it, especially with the NFC West being the way that they are right now. Because you can only have seven teams in the playoffs, and four of them are division winners. Now, let's dive into this real quick. We mentioned last year during the playoff seeding, because of the situation with the Vikings and the Lions, both at 14-2 at the time.
Something like that, 13 and yeah.
I think they were both 14-2, and the Lions win. They're the one seed, and the Vikings drop all the way to the five seed. Now, I do believe that realistically speaking, if the Bucks are at 6-4, they should not be ahead of a 7-4, 6-3-1, and 7-3 team. Realistically speaking,
Yeah.
because you can have a team that wins their division with 8 wins
Right,
and be
right.
in the playoffs, and a team with 13 wins miss the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. I don't know what the NFL can do to really make that fair because on both sides, people will not be happy. So, you know, it is unfortunate. Like, the Buccaneers get to play the Saints twice, and we have to play each other twice. I mean, it's not the equivalent. So, I don't know. It's unfortunate that's the way it is. But at the same time, though, if you are that good team, such as, let's just say this year, the Lions are a wild card team, they play against the Bucks, and let's say the Lions have a better record. Statistically, the Lions are a better team than the Buccaneers, I would think. So I think they should be able to beat
Yeah,
Tampa
I mean,
Bay.
they showed it this year already.
Right. Just saying, for example, just saying if it was any other team with a better record, you would think they could go into a home, like another team's home and probably beat them if they are better, you know. So I guess it depends on the matchup. You know, that's obviously kind of luck. So hopefully things kind of fall in your favor at that point.
Yeah, and let's look into the next segment that we're going to be doing, just predicting next week's schedule for the NFC North. Now, we mentioned some of these games already. Obviously, the Packers face another NFC North team, the Minnesota Vikings, now without Josh Jacobs and without Tucker Kraft. It is in Green Bay, and I think depending on the weather, this is going to be a determining factor. Now, I think the Packers have it. I'm going to take the Packers. I think as long as they can catch the football, that's a key factor for you guys, can catch the football. And if Matt LaFleur can kind of keep Brian Flores' defense a little at bay, right, and kind of outmaneuver them. Because that's going to be the deciding factor.
Yeah, I think that we do have a lot of interesting weapons, such as Savion Williams and Matthew Golden, who will become more involved because of these injuries, and maybe Romeo's not 100%. With that being said, I'm not going to count the run game out. Emmanuel Wilson, he's not a starter, he's a backup, and he's fine. He does actually create some explosive runs, but he's not every, oh my gosh, dude.
He's not an every down back.
Exactly. So with that being said, I do think the ball will be in Love's hand more, and I do think that's a good thing. I think I did see an interview with Micah Parsons with this Giants game saying how angry and frustrated he was with this game wasn't a lot cleaner on his end. So hopefully the defense will step up even more and put the Vikings away.
Yeah, I'll give the Packers maybe 24-10.
For the love of God, just want to bring this up really quick. Can we get a kicker, please? I mean, okay, I like Lucas Haversick. I know he set the record and everything. I know the wind was bad last week, but that when you missed the extra point, I knew we were in for a game, bro. Like, I was so frustrated with that because of all the kicker situations we've had in the past couple years. However, they put McManus back on the injury report. But what were they doing for like the last month? It just makes no sense. Anyways, Packers got this game, I think, 27-16.
Yeah, and speaking of kickers, one of my former coworkers had said, "You're telling me that there's not 32 people that can kick a football on this earth?"
I mean, we'll see, man. We need something.
And then going into the Chicago Bears, they have, like we mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with the Bears. I think right now they're just at a level that the Steelers can't hang with them. And obviously Aaron Rodgers potentially being out with, I believe it was fractured wrist, maybe broken wrist. I definitely know it's a wrist issue. But potentially not having Aaron Rodgers this week for the Steelers, I got to have the Bears. I'm going to go 28-24.
Closer game. Yeah, unfortunately, Rodgers, I think, fractured his left wrist. I'm not 100% sure on that. But nonetheless, he probably won't be playing. If he does, that'd be kind of crazy. I think, unfortunately, he won't be able to ruin the Bears' time in Chicago at home at Soldier Field for one last time. Unfortunately, I got the Bears. I think it'll be 33-17. I don't think it'll be relatively close, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, the Bears will be up to 8-3. So, getting closer to that 13 marker.
Saw that coming.
Right. And lastly, we did talk about it, Nick. I think it's a pretty one-dimensional pick here. Lions-Giants. Forget about it.
Lions.
Yeah, we can just wrap it up.
Score prediction?
75-7.
It is Jameis Winston, and Aiden Hutchinson does like, and I will say DJ Reed will be back. I am hearing reports that DJ Reed will be back. I'm hearing reports that Malcolm Rodriguez will be back. I'm hearing reports that Miles Frazier will be back. I'm hearing reports that Hutchinson is looking for a bounce back, which can be a very dangerous thing And Goff is looking for a bounce back as
Two
well.
interceptions, one fumble. The Lions defense will create that easily.
I'm gonna go with three interceptions, two forced fumbles.
Gosh.
Actually, three forced fumbles. I think Meek Roberson will get one, Branch will get one, and Hutch will get one. I think those are like the main guys that mainly get one. And three interceptions. I'll say two from Terrion Arnold. He's due. Actually, no, he's gonna be out with a concussion. One from Rock Ya-Sin, one from Amik, and I'll go one from Hutch.
Man, you're going for the appetizer,
Well,
main course meal, and dessert.
yeah, and I'll say Jared Goff has a bounce back game from last game. It's gonna be indoors again. I'm gonna say he's gonna go 72% completion percentage.
All right, we get it.
Three
They're going to
touchdowns
pants the
and no
Giants. They're going to
interceptions.
pants the Giants.
And I'm gonna go 52. I think they're gonna tie their highest score. 52-6.
Sounds about right.
Right, but that's gonna wrap things up. I hope you guys enjoy this new kind of style for the podcast. We're gonna be doing this sort of thing every week where we're gonna have segments. And if you guys have any suggestions for different segments, let us know in the comments. And the week after Thanksgiving, after the Green Bay Packers and the Lions take on each other, we will have a guest on the show, my coworker, so then they can, so Mike and my coworker can hash things out. So looking forward to that episode. But yeah, you guys can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Twitter, and we will see you guys every single Thursday at 3 p.m. And yeah, see you guys next week.